I'm Shreya Mohanty, a student outreach ambassador from DV Public School Unit 8, and I am elated once again welcome you with open arms to our very own propitious podcast named Voices. It's a matter of benign courtesy for me to share this respectable platform with Sir Mr. Deepu Krishna, Head Outreach and Admissions, BITS Law School. Warm greetings of the day, sir.
First of all, thank you so much. It is such a great experience to listen to students, you know, using Shashi Tharoor's vocab. So I remember I was someone who used to do the same during my schooling, and many teachers did not appreciate it. They were like, no, don't do that. You know, it's not a good practice. But then there was this English teacher of mine. She was the one who mentored me. And she said, no, vocabulary and language is very good. And that is something which is going to pave way for you ahead. And when I joined law school, believe me, that is something which really helped me a lot. So I get very impressed when I see students like, Shreya, delivering a stellar speech at the very beginning, and my mood goes into, you know, a 3D mode, and I'm like, wow. So great, Shreya. And let's begin with your question. And the answer to this question is very simple. Gone are the days when it was all about you sitting in a classroom, a professor coming and delivering a lecture and just moving out of the class. And then you with your friends go to the canteen, have chai, go back. And then comes the examination month of January to March when you are studying, when you are having those sleepless nights. Today, learning has become something which is more about experiencing, about understanding that what you are learning is also something which is practical in nature, for which internships, articleships, on-field visits, etc., have become so very important at the graduation level itself. Thankfully, I have to say this, that I joined law in the year 2001. And when I joined, I was very happy that internships were something which I was exposed to during my school law school life. And when my friends who were doing a BCom or BBA were not having any kind of experience during those days about these things, they were giving, as I said, they were following the rhetoric. But then that is something which literally helped me understand the profession better, about how, for example, if I was sitting in a law school, all I could understand was a professor coming and telling me that, okay, this is how civil procedure code works. And we were very impressed. But by the time we will reach the court, we have to understand that civil procedure code is in book, but how does the code work? How does a file move from one desk to another? What are the affidavits which have to be attached? And that is something which we learn during internships. So what good universities, or the universities which really want to, I'll tell you, there are many kinds of universities. One which just want to crowd and then they shell out, students after students. The other universities are the ones who want their students to be brand ambassadors, who would move into the society and create an image of this law school as, okay, you know, for example, let me take my own BITS law student. So he goes on an internship, he projects himself, he's serious about it. And when he's on an internship, he projects that kind of an intellect or a kind of a magnetism where he's inclined towards his work and he's inclined towards the gravity. You know, he creates a gravitational pull about getting your work done. And when he does that, that's specifically a time when you have to understand that he is also laying down not just the image of his institution, but also of himself and also the profession. Now, I'm telling you the real story which happened with us 3 days back. Now, there's a student of ours who came from Dehradun, and then he went and he worked because it was first year and he's a first semester student. He went to an NGO called as Rural Litigation Entitlement Kendra. They basically work for a knowledge of rights to the people who are in the rural India. He did a commendable job that there were people from RLEK. RLEK is a huge organization. So law students would know that they have case laws by their name. That means they have taken the government to the court also. They applauded him. He's just a first semester student. Now, when you teach a student in the classroom itself, you have to start modulating his thought process in such a manner that the word I used was gravity. So when he moves into the society, when he moves into, I use the word society intentionally and not corporates or, you know, NGOs, etc., because that is society. That is exactly where law trends. So when he moves into the society, he's able to create that image of not just himself, of institution, but also of the profession, which is very, very important. And that's exactly where law suffered. So I was seeing this, web series called "Is Mamla Legal?" And it was actually very painful for me to see the condition, but that is true. That is also a part of the profession where people were going to law school, they were not attending classes, they were not doing internships for sure. And there is this Harvard-educated female who comes seeking justice and how she struggles. But a part of it is also not right because a lot of students who have done classrooms and who have done this internship seriously, where institutions like us have also incorporated these internships into a credited course where the student, if he goes for internship, he has to create his records and has to submit, and the professor would look, and there are credits which are given to the student because they have to, see, they are kids at the end of the day. And I often believe that this five-year program is actually too mature a course for students who are just 12th graduate. But then again, that's the deal, you know. So those students have to be guided. They have to be handholded for the first 2 years. That is very important. So it's not necessary to just say, okay, we have an Office of Career Services, internships are taken care of. How active is the Career Services helping the student? What are they doing? For example, in our Office of Career Services, headed by Chetna Lal, she even takes sessions on how a LinkedIn profile has to be created. She even takes sessions about how to apply for it. Where to apply. If you're applying for an NGO, this is how your resume should be. If you're applying to, say, a corporate for a CSR department, this is how it should be. So the first 2 years are all about handholding. And when that handholding stops, by the time it's third year, the student has a good idea about his choices, his weaknesses and strengths, and then he moves ahead. But then again, you have to be there in his life. You know, you have to tell him certain things which matter, for which the professors also join the entire campaign. So that's how law school is more about a family, you know, because I am still connected to my professors, believe me, because if I don't get something, some logic in law, I would call them and ask. So the great Ram Jethmalani once said that in law, if you're a student once, you remain a student always. And that's what I believe in. So there are points which I still don't get. And I call them and I said, I want to take this class as a student. Can you just help me? And then they come out with some stellar replies. And I'm like, wow. So that relationship is what your question was all about. And that relationship is very important. The law school which takes this relationship seriously is the law school where a student should go.
Thank you, sir. I would move forward, as you said, that 21st century is the century where science and technology are the ruling emperors. Or I can say that skill-based learning is the ruling emperor. So what skills are essential for success in law school and overall a legal career?
Excellent question, Shreya. And I would want to say that there were so many skills which I used to talk about some years before, but some have been now added. One of which, I'll start from the basic, you know, which I even keep pushing my son. So you know, I go to his school and I also talk to his teacher and say, I just want his language to be good. His communication to be good. If he's not scoring in max, I'm not very worried. Make sure he's able to communicate. He's able to write. He's able to draft. He's able to express himself. And that is one thing which every student has to be good at. And Shreya, you are good at it. Because the way you started, that's where I was so impressed. And that's exactly how you should be. Because, see, you can get a package of around a few lakh rupees. And then you get a chair to sit there and work with a laptop, but you are still that laptop chair if you are not conversing with people. You create an idea and you give it to a manager who's very well spoken. He goes and puts across this idea, right? So whose idea is it? It's your idea, but he's able to communicate it properly. So communication skill is the basic. Every student listening to this has to take it seriously. And I'll tell you a very classic example. So there is this phone, right? We all are crazy about iPhone, the MacBooks, etc. You know who's the brain behind it? It's not Steve Jobs. It was Steve Wozniak, you know, the engineering brain behind it and the friend of Steve Jobs. He was the one who used to create all these things. But did you know his name? People rarely know him. You know, he's a genius. Who knows and who is known? Steve Jobs, because the way he used to come and present, communicate to people is something which is the most important. And believe me, that is what matters. That is exactly what matters. People are crazy after Shah Rukh Khan. I don't find him a good actor. I find him a very stupid kind of a person who just does roles which are imaginary, except for few roles like Chak De, etc. but he is an exceptional orator. You listen to his lectures, you listen to the way he's very witty, the way he is able to connect the dots and present ideas. My goodness, he would have made an excellent professor. That is what I think. You know? Because he's able to communicate with people. But then see, with his communication skill, he has reached, you know, he has been given honorary PhDs. I don't know if he has bought it or not, but yes, he's been given. And when he delivers the speech, we understand that, no, he's intellectual also. You're getting it? So communication skill is very, very important. Second is analytical skills, which sadly the generation now is lacking. It's not reasoning or solving a logical reasoning problem, but then if someone puts across an idea in front of you, you should be able to analyze it. You should be able to not jump at conclusions, but take a bad seat, calculate things, and then come out with your opinion. Don't jump to conclusions. Have an analytical brain. People are very curious when they see a detective series, and they're like, wow, you know, the way that person is thinking. But when it comes to themselves, they are often very ready to jump to conclusions, which is not the way to start. You have to have you seen Sachin Tendulkar? Have you seen MS Dhoni? They never lose their cool. There are times when they also lose their cool. They are also humans. But have you seen they are always analyzing situations? They're always calculating. Look at their eyes. That's how leaders work. That's how problem solvers work. And that's one thing which is going to be very, very, very important for the coming generations. In interviews, okay, I always say that there is no job or there is no employment in this world which you can get unless and until you are not interviewed. Even if you become an entrepreneur, no one is going to put money into your pocket unless you are not able to communicate it and give analysis of what it is. You all see Shark Tank, right? When those people are sitting there, what is happening? They're communicating, but then there is an analytical reasoning which is happening. Everyone has to go ahead and establish what their idea is all about. Six people sitting there and thinking over it. So that is something which is the most important. Third, managerial skills. And it's not about getting an MBA. You go and watch a chai ki dukan, anywhere, a chai shop. It's more about how that person is managing his business. At the right time, how he comes, he stands, he's able to cater to every person. There will be a person collecting glasses. My goodness, that's managerial ability. You do not get it from an MBA. MBAs are all about Excel sheets and blah, 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 blah. But then management skill is something very important. So in student life also, you have to see you're managing things. You have to manage your tuitions, you have to manage your homework, you have to manage. So that's something which is going to be very, very important in the coming years with the advent of AI, etc. Technological awareness is also very, very important. So technological awareness is not about the new filters on Instagram. Technological awareness is also about how new things are getting launched and how can you be a part of it. A part of it, when I say, if they are coming out with a new technology, at least you should be the one who should go ahead and critically analyze it. Like I said, analytical reason. So you have a say in it. That's very important. For which you have to be updated with whatever is happening. So these are few skills which people don't talk about. One of which I think is very important is also financial literacy. That is not taught in school, and I'm very pained by it. That financial literacy is something right at the school level should be taught to a kid so that when he is made an offer, when he graduates from a law school, he's able to understand ki at the end of the month, how much money is going to be in his pocket and how much the government is going to be. You will not understand this, but one day you will understand what I'm saying. So the taxes, how the returns are filed, these things should be taught at school level itself.
So being a student of humanities background, what I've learned is students now are looking for more opportunities. Yeah. So I would ask you, like, I am about to step into grade and then I'd be into university. So what factors should I consider when I'm choosing a law school to apply to?
Yeah. I'll tell you something very specifically, Shreya. Law schools are just like medical schools. Very simple. It's a profession. So you may have a doctor in your neighborhood, but when you are not well, whom does your parent take you to? Do they take you to him? If he's not good, they won't. They'll take you to the best doctor, because what is so special about that doctor? You don't look at his degrees or etc., his diagnosis and the way he's able to treat, because he's professionally skilled. So What makes him different is probably when he was in his MBBS or when he was doing that course, he learned these things in a skilled manner. He was not just rote learning, but he was able to understand and imbibe all those things. Where the role of two things are very, very important. One, undoubtedly, is faculties. Now, faculties are the core or the epicenter of everything that a law school is. I still say whatever I'm in my life is because of two people, school teachers, obviously, but more importantly, my law school teachers, because the way they were able to press an impression in my mind is something which is still there in my mind. You know, I still think over it. Can I take a break there? The food is here. I'm supposed to reach early, but I don't know. Okay. So, faculties. Yes. Faculties are very, very, very important in law school. So how do you check it? You go to the website. There might be people with LLMs, LLM from abroad. But then also check for if these faculties have some YouTube videos, you know, attend those and see how they project, what they project. Because law schools are very snooty when it comes to, you know, projecting their faculty. I don't know why. Law school faculties are the ones who should come out and speak on the current issues. Very simple. Because judges will deliver justice, lawyers will argue, but it's the researchers who are in the law school who should speak what is true. Because they are constantly coming out or they are constantly manufacturing this law students. So that is one thing I feel, that it should be a research by a student of law. They should research and they should try to find out that, are these faculties somewhere? For example, it's not just about names. How do they teach? What is their projection? So if you see, good law schools have done that. You go to YouTube, there will be faculty lectures, knowledge sessions of these faculties on YouTube. You listen to them and then you feel, wow. For example, that's what we have done. We have not marketed ourselves. We have not pushed hard. But if you go to YouTube, there are professors of which law school who are delivering lectures. One of which is very famous among students is by Professor Chinmay, where he's talking about the books a law student should read. Super impressive stuff. You know, super impressive stuff. And many students have watched it and they have sent emails to us that, great, these books really added to our preparation, because he talks about, even when you are preparing for law school, what you should read. Now think about that professor teaching. There are professors who are talking about sociology, you know, of bachelor. There are bachelor professors whom I have arranged where I'm, paneling it, where what I've done is I have made sure that the confusion between BBA and BALLB is taken care of, where I have a BBA professor and I have a BALLB professor sitting and explaining that what are the course contents. See, this clarity is very important on part of professors. If you get such kind of a law school, I think that is one of your priorities. Second and the most important is check for libraries of law schools. Very important, because that's 60% of your law school life there. What are the resources they have? What are the online resources they have? What books are there? Are they accessible to you? You know, these are those important things. And then obviously placements. See, if you are capable, you'll get placement. I can vouch for it. But then what kind of internship helps are they able to provide? What is their network? And are they singularly devoted on that law school, or is it just one of those courses which they run? Is something which is important and something which a student should very smartly and categorically try to understand.
So moving on, I would like to know that when it comes to the IT sector or the medical sector, we are usually quite well known or aware of the opportunities that they offer. When it comes to law, somewhere we have that stereotypical mindset that maybe we are not sure of the opportunities that they have to offer. So what opportunities exist for law students to get involved in advocacy or social justice initiatives?
So I'll tell you something, Shreya. Every profession will face some or the other difficulty. You're talking about engineering, specifically IT. Believe me, it is the most riskiest profession. You are an IT engineer, you never know when you're going to lose the job because of the AI. So Paytm chucked out a majority of their employees because what all those people were doing could have been done by a machine. So things are happening like that. So law also has its problem. But then one thing that you have to understand is that it is a very human-centric profession. So a robot was called on in US to argue a case and he lost. I hope you know it's a true incident which happened in the US. Because here, it's not mechanical in nature. The profession is dependent upon a very core thing, which is interpretation of a written word of law, and convincing a human sitting in front of you that how the justice has to be delivered. That's why even ChatGPT is a major flop in the field of law. If you have seen, there are so many people who have used ChatGPT in law and have failed. Because the answers which is coming out is properly not the even interpretation. If you want to use ChatGPT in law, you have to be proficient in English to type the right question for the right answer to come. Now, talking about it, the various professions where it is connected, believe me, there are new branches of law which are coming up every now and then. Branches of law like sports law, branches of law like space law, branches of law like entertainment law, branches of law like genetic law. So wherever human being is thinking and trying to manufacture something, law would go there to regulate it. And that has been us humans, right? So wherever someone comes out with an idea, there is always a different side to it. For example, for science, it is all about Eureka moments, right? They live for Eureka moments. So they come out. So MIT, you should Google this. MIT has come out with a research what they have done now is they have made aging optional. Aging has been cured, not optional. Aging has been cured and death has become optional. That means you now have an option to die. This is what science will do. But then there has to be someone who goes and tells them, hello, stop it. You cannot do that because then, no one is going to die, right? Everyone can afford it nowadays. So Queen Elizabeth was not dying and people thought that she has already used up those things. But unfortunately, we lost her, right? So you never know what and how these things are going to turn up, for which there always has to be a profession which puts a yardstick and says, okay, this is the limit, don't go beyond it. And in international law also, you would see, international law, though many people say that, okay, it's a mirage, but then again, there are certain cases in which people do step in. When it's about human rights, when it is about individual rights, people do step in. But powerful countries like Russia, US, China, they will use their power. But at least there are a conglomeration of nations who would step in and say, okay, enough is enough. Please try to stop it. Before going to war, people are at least talking to each other. For example, right of prisoners. How can you think about a robot talking about all these things? So two countries are at war. They made peace, but they have prisoners who are in each other's cells. Now, what mistake is theirs? Because they were fighting with each other, right? Now, tell me, how will a robot solve this problem? It's always about a human being who would argue for both of the sides that, come on, leave them. They are human beings who are doing their duty, right? Now, tell me, how is a robot going to solve this issue? Similarly, two people contract. The contract has few clauses. Even if those two people are contracting for the use of AIs, there has to be human interface. How humans are going to use. So there are a lot of things which are happening. The latest one being, I hope you see football. You belong to the Northeast. So I'm 100% sure you're a football fan. So I'll give you an example. There's a new system of refereeing which has come up, right? Where there is also a VAR. That is what it is called, right? You know, the introduction of it had so many legal loopholes. Connecting to sports law, lot of it. But then, this is sports law. There were people who were involved in it. They were doing research and they were trying, because VAR is an invention of technology. So wherever technology steps in, we have to be there to check it. Now, come on, privacy, for example, all these mobile phones of ours. In the morning, I was thinking something. I was not even speaking. And then when I was going through my Instagram feed, I saw the ad there. And I was like, what the hell is happening? This is how technology is getting into our closets. So now with privacy policy and everything, we're trying to curtail them. But God knows, how do they know it? So law or legal profession is always there. The only thing is, law students have to be updated. They have to keep on updating themselves.
With that being said, I render my sincere token of acknowledgement and gratefulness to our esteemed speaker of the day, Sir Mr. Deepu Krishna, for propelling forward the modern age of legal framework with his exceptional words of profound knowledge, wisdom, and insight. So curious minds, as the drill continues, buckle up to unravel many more such thrilling sessions in days to come. Till then, keep your enthusiasm charged. Thank you.
A word of appreciation to you, Shreya, and also to the great organization called a Student Outreach, which is giving you students such a great platform, you know, to come with us, speak, and also spread the flag of knowledge. You know? So kudos to Student Outreach also.
Thank you so much.